Just let this soak in.
No. No.
Yes. It's beautiful.
No, God, please, no.
Drew,
no.
Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue and corn moon?
No.
Or ask the grinning bobcat why he grinned?
No.
Why would anybody do that?
Oh, let that be one of the questions when we do the debates with Elizabeth Warren.
Why would anybody do that?
Miss Warren.
From Twitter, the question is, have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue and corn moon?
No.
Listen, amazing. you could start a movement. You can mobilize the internet to do this for you.
We are starting hour three, your final hour of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew with the roundtable, Max Reimer, Sam Santavir, and Brianne. A little bit of breaking news going on right now. Earlier, Cory Booker did announce he was going to run for president. We are going to play some audio from that. But real quickly, the United States is pulling out of a Cold War era arms control treaty with Russia.
Putin's puppet.
This is according to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. This treaty has been a centerpiece of arms control since the Cold War. Now, the American, you're already seeing some histrionics, on social media about this. Oh, we're going to have another Cold War now. The American withdrawal has been expected for months. It follows years of unresolved dispute over Russian compliance with the 1987 pact, which bans certain ground-launched cruise missiles. Russia denies, of course, violating the treaty. So,
well, he only did that because of collusion. He wants to make it look like he didn't.
I know. Yet another example of actual policy coming out of the Trump administration that absolutely belies this idea that he was elected to serve Russian interests.
Yep. Yep. And a good move, too. I mean, I remember reading about this a while back. This was the right move. And, this has been, and we'll get back to the job numbers coming up, this has been an effective presidency.
There's no question it's been an effective presidency.
In many, many ways.
Yeah, and anybody out there who's putting out these articles, and I've seen many of them talking about how ineffective this president, I'm like, stop being so intellectually dishonest. You don't have to like him, but at least admit the accomplishments.
If the left were intellectually honest about this whole presidency and about, how what Joy Behar said last week, how desperate they are to get Trump out of office, they would admit that it's just about how he makes them feel.
That's right.
They're fifis.
It's just about their fifis.
That is, and by the way, that is
precious little fifis.
That's what it comes down to, not only for the left, but also people who have held out to this point on my side of the aisle, Republicans who are just adamantly anti-Trump.
They never Trumpers.
They have these are policy prescriptions that they have worked their entire careers to make happen, and they have failed at it. When you talk about the actual implications of something like tax reform and removing ourselves from costly foreign entanglements
and deregulation,
these are things that these same people have written books on.
Yeah,
and they could not make it happen, and this guy comes in, and they will. Guys like Max Boot. Max Boot was this author who wrote all about deregulation, policy prescription, conservative philosophy, was not part of any implementation in any successful way.
Right.
And all they do is criticize Donald Trump, because at this point, all it is they make them feel bad, and he tweets. Well, that's the only criticism. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, it's true. What are we supposed to...
It shows you that for a lot of those people, and it exposes like the Max Boots of the world, it's less about achieving those goals and more about getting credit for achieving those goals. And if somebody else is going to go do it and Max Boot doesn't get the credit for it, well, then it's just not worth doing.
And,
right?
And he's a Russian agent, and he's just deplorable, and he's a terrible person, and it's a terrible presidency. It is another way that Donald Trump has been successful is exposing all of this. We have had people that we have elected and not elected representing us who are getting totally exposed that they never represented us in the first place. They don't care about how effective these policies are. They don't.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it off the air, and we've mentioned it on the show. I mean, it's that Matrix analogy, but it absolutely works. You know, we're outside the Matrix right now, and we're seeing everything as it really is. And you're seeing all of these individuals on the left running to the left and saying what we're sitting back going, these are such ridiculous, extremist. You know, this whole Virginia abortion bill, you're seeing all this. And I think the reality is, and we were talking about it, the reality is, no, the left feels emboldened now to just be more honest than they have in the past. They're under this assumption that because of the dislike of Trump, that this means the country wants to run as far left as possible. So they're pushing all this nonsense when they're completely missing the point. And they continue to miss the point of why Trump got elected. If people, you know, people aren't sitting back going, I want an alternative to Trump, go way, way left. That has nothing to do with it.
And even beyond that, the Democrats, in spite of Trump, they want us to stay in Afghanistan. They want us to stay in Syria. They want war. These are people who supported the Code Pink movement against George W. Bush for going to war.
They want us
to stay there. They want us to go to war with North Korea because it's Donald Trump in the White House.
Because what is going on? Establishing some degree of normal, not even normal, but that's not the right word, but establishing less hostile relationships with North Korea would mean a win for Trump. They would rather have hostilities with an emerging nuclear power who has threatened us with nuclear war.
Yes.
They would rather have those relationships continue to be hostile than, God forbid, President Trump notch a little victory.
Well, and I'm really curious to see far enough down the road, sort of, you know, speaking to the other millennial in the room with Sam is, you know, those of us who were doing talk radio through it, you know, we know sort of the post-Bush 9/11 years and the Bush is bad and the ramifications of that. We are living at a time right now where, you know, the division is systemic across the country. It's not just politics. I mean, it invades sports, it invades pop culture, this sort of my opinion at all costs. My opinion matters more than you do, you know, don't dare diminish the fact that I have this opinion. And the left in this case, this winning at all costs, even if it means that we're not going to stand firm on anything, even the stuff we believed before. It'll be really interesting, Sam, as your generation grows up, what the viewpoint is of individuals who aren't as perhaps engaged as, say, you are.
Right.
And what it means for them when it comes to politics.
Well, and even me, because I consider myself a lot more engaged than other 23-year-olds that I spend time around. And it's been hard because I didn't really pay attention to politics at all until I started working here. And I started working here in this spring. I think it'll be 4 years now. And I know, I can't believe it's been that long. But we've had President Trump for 2 years. The year before we had President Trump, we had the 2 years before President Trump, we had all the craziness leading up to that election. The entire time of my young adult life where I've been actually paying attention about politics and learning about politics, it's been this insanity. It's just constantly ramping up and up and up and up and up. And you, every time that you think that you've reached peak stupidity, they build another mountain that goes even higher. And it's just hard to imagine a time when maybe, I mean, I don't know if there was ever a time where people were a little bit more moderate and there was a little bit more sense in how people, I don't know, when you look at how liberals talk to conservatives, it's just crazy.
I just troll the hashtag TCNT every once in a while.
Yeah. And I can't even imagine a world where people could have, I don't know, where you could, there was some sense between liberals and conservatives.
You know, we talk about the cyclical nature of a lot of different things, but it feels like what we're in right now is sort of the anti-Tea Party. Like in the time of the Tea Party movement, you had a lot of people involved for that period of time that never got involved in politics, right? That latched on to the beginnings of the Tea Party movement that wanted to see lower taxes and limited government and got on board and learned a lot about it. And then, you know, we saw the ramifications of what happened after that, you know, sort of the Tea Party, you know, had its rise and then had its fall. And a lot of people went kind of back to not paying attention anymore. Well, now we have something very similar going on, but it's on an anti-Trump level where you have a lot of people that are now engaged in politics only because of so much negativity towards this president.
But it's worse because now you have like the Twitter version of that.
Right.
Because you have people, you have millennials, you have people my age and younger even that are getting so worked up that are only reading headlines on Twitter or Facebook or right. whatever. They're not actually reading articles. They're not actually listening to interviews. They're not listening to shows like this where we're actually talking about these things. They're not, I mean, there's plenty of different shows. There's the podcast, like Wrong About Everything, where you actually have two Republicans and two Democrats that are talking to each other and having a civil conversation. A lot of millennials, I mean, I don't know, there's just a lot of millennials that are a part of the outrage machine that lean very far left that I think just aren't listening to that.
I've been on Wrong About Everything, and there's a lot of talking past each other as well. Especially in the era of Trump. This North Korea thing, I remember being on that specific podcast, and the two liberals who were on that podcast, they would not admit that not going to war with North Korea was not a good thing. They would not admit that. They would not say less war is good. Put yourself... Think about Democrats in 2000 and 2004. They ran on an anti-war platform. These people will not admit anything.
Right? I get very frustrated with the... And you see it on both sides. The people who are so dug in to their side that they're afraid to even concede the slightest point, like the most benign point
right.
to the other side. You know, hey, Trump has decreased hostilities with North Korea. Right? Universally, you would think
that's
a good thing. It's true. I mean, it's not a provocative statement. Hostilities with North Korea have decreased because of Trump's choices, policies, and behaviors towards them. There's nothing controversial or provocative about that statement. Yet, you would be hard-pressed to find too many liberals who would concede that point or acknowledge that that is a positive thing simply because they're afraid to give it even an inch to what they consider to be the other side.
And you don't. And what ends up happening with that is that when you've got this sort of blind hatred that keeps you from admitting any accomplishments, it also keeps you from having the real relevant conversations. And the real relevant conversation is, yeah, just for the sake of argument, Trump has been able to diminish the threat of North Korea in having these talks. We've certainly moved far away from the fire and fury from a couple years ago. But you can have a conversation beyond that after you admit that fact and be like, okay, what does this mean really long term? Are we fooling ourselves when it comes to North Korea? We're here now.
And that's a fair conversation.
Right.
To have.
But we're not even going to get there.
You can never have it.
Right. Because you have to admit that we've made progress here before you can get there.
Bingo. You have to say that, hey, the situation has improved, but let's look at this from a 30,000 foot view.
Right.
One candidate for president, Tulsi Gabbard, look at her. She is a non-interventionist. She's a war veteran. She's a leftist in so many ways. But she was willing to admit that Donald Trump was right on Syria. She said, I don't want us to be at war in Syria. And she's been there a few times to see.
And her presidential aspirations immediately went down the
drain. They're dead. You might as well have been, that was her.
You have CNN hit pieces against her because she doesn't want to go to war.
Yeah.
They're dead. Yeah. Her chances are dead. It's crazy.
It's absolute insanity.
All right, we do have some audio to play. First off, Ilhan Omar is just the gift that keeps on giving, like on a scary level. Like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the gift that keeps on giving, and it's scary in its own right. This is a whole different brand of scariness. But here's the latest. Proposing an extreme tax rate, she made her remarks during an interview with Yahoo News through her eyes with women's right activist Sanab Salbi. And this is what Ilhan Omar had to say.
I mean, I think what picks up for a lot of people is taxing the rich up to 80, 90% or 70%. And, you know,
1% must pay their fair share.
But even those who support that, they say, good luck getting that. You know, I mean, how are you planning on having this negotiations or dialogue or bridge building to actually get that happening?
Yeah, I mean, the influence of money in our politics is severe. And so a lot of us really have been working to limit the influence corporations and the uber wealthy have on Congress. It's not about finding a colleague who is a Republican to agree on the issue, but it's about finding a Republican within society who agrees with that. And we have done that.
She says there are things we can do. One of them is we can increase the taxes that people are paying on the extremely wealthy, 70, 80. We've seen it had as high as 90%. So that's a place that we can start.
You can start. We're going to start at 90.
Where does it end?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't end.
Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, the very frequent criticism of Republicans when it comes to negotiations, where they'll start at a point where the Democrats would already be happy with that, so they end up conceding even further. She's starting at an absolute insane point, and hope, you know, I imagine her goal is to get somewhere around that 70% number.
Yeah.
So she's starting at 90.
90. Yep.
You know, and it's like, okay, fine, I'll concede.
I was just, you know, 75. Oh, 70 if I have to. 651-989-5855. News quiz coming up. All right, from the bottom of the hour. We do have Cory Booker's a campaign launch ad. We'll talk a bit about that coming up as well.
Yeah, we got a bit of a 2020 lightning round with Cory Booker, and more Amy Klobuchar news, Howard Schultz news about him. We'll try to squeeze that all in before we play the news quiz at 8FFM.
AM 1130, 103.5 FM. You still have precious few minutes left to use the hashtag TCNT and let us know who you think is going to win this morning's news quiz.
Will it be producer Brianne? Will it be producer Sam Sansevier, who's in studio with us? Or will it be a roundtable guest Max Reimer, co-host of Kip and Max Save the World podcast? Who do you think is going to win? If you correctly predict the winner and we randomly draw your name, you're going to win a $50 gift card to the Ocean Air.
Nice.
Taking like you with you.
Brianna's hustling. Brianna's acting like
she's... Why do you say those things, Sam? Why do you do that?
I want a good meal.
But you're not going to go. Like, somebody's going to win, and then they're going to be like, Sam, I'll take you to the Ocean Air. You're not going to go.
You don't know that.
Don't act like you're going to go.
You don't know that.
Yes,
I know that.
4 years, Sam.
We all know that.
Maybe I'll go just to spite you guys.
What if Zac Efron wins?
He's like, Sam,
I want to take you to...
Because we got a bunch of Zac Efrons listening to this show.
I just need... It only takes one.
There's a way that you and I are very similar, Sam, and there's a difference in that similarity. One is I don't say that I'm going to go places.
But
neither of us go places. Did you say you're going to go places? I'm upfront about saying I'm not going to go places.
I'm very unrealistic and ambitious.
That's true. Speaking of unrealistic and ambitious, Cory Booker announced that he was going to be running in 2020, and we have his campaign launch, whatever you want to call it.
This video looks like a rap video, by the way.
We haven't heard or seen it yet, so I'm very excited.
In America, we have a common pain, but what we're lacking... What? It's a sense of common purpose.
I'm already.
What's up? Amen.
Words.
I grew up knowing that the only way we can make change is when people come together. When I was a baby, my parents tried to move us into a neighborhood with great public schools, but realtors wouldn't sell us a home because of the color of our skin. A group of white lawyers who had watched the courage of civil rights activists were inspired to help black families in their own community, including mine.
There have been five mentions of race.
What? I mean, can we pause for a second? Wow, we're just...
Wow.
There were some white lawyers who helped my black family move into a black neighborhood.
I encourage everyone to seek out the visual, too, because it's way worse.
This is like the most racist video I've heard.
The sheen. I can't say it enough, man. The sheen is off. It's like game on. I mean, everything, the spotlight is being shown. I think it's great. Drew, I'm with you. It goes back to the conversation, and we'll get to more of this, the conversation we were having about the guy that doesn't want to serve anybody wearing a MAGA hat. Yes, by all means, please let us know, you know, who you really are so that we can make better informed decisions. And I am thankful that all of these far left progressives are so confident right now to come out and just be like, hey, everybody, it's all on display. Look at all the identity politics and race, and look at how leftist I really am. I'm glad the sheen is off. Yes, it's all exposed.
Yet another example of the effectiveness of the Trump presidency.
Listen, for everybody listening, when you get into work, if you're already in work, go watch this video. The audio is one thing, but Cory Booker like starts with a hoodie on. He looks like a rap star. It's really, really contrived and bizarre and doesn't pass the smell test.
Sorry, I meant to.
In America, we have a common pain, but what we're lacking is a sense of common purpose.
That is such a vapid statement.
What's up? Proper headgear.
What's up?
I grew up knowing that the only way we can make change is when people come together. When I was a baby, my parents tried to move us into a neighborhood with great public schools, but realtors wouldn't sell us a home because of the color of our skin.
Poor baby Booker.
A group of white lawyers who had watched the courage of civil rights activists were inspired to help black families in their own community, including mine. And they changed the course of my entire life. Because in America, courage is contagious. My dad told me, boy, never forget where you came from or how many people had to sacrifice to get you where you are. So over 20 years ago, I moved into the Central Ward of Newark to fight slumlords and help families stay in their homes.
Yeah, but I didn't do any of those things.
I still live there today, and I'm the only senator who goes home to a low-income inner-city community, the first community that took a chance on me. We are better when we help each other. The history of our nation is defined by collective action, by interwoven destinies of slaves and abolitionists, of those born here and those who chose America as home, those who took up arms to defend our country, and those who linked arms to challenge and change it. I believe that we can build a country where no one is forgotten, no one is left behind.
Black barbershop.
Where parents can put food on the table, where there are good paying jobs with good benefits in every neighborhood. Where our criminal justice.
You make a point. The shot there is of him at a barbershop.
Yes.
As a bald man, I don't know any bald men that do not shave their own head. I do not know any bald men who do not shave their own head.
Yeah, why,
who goes to a barber shop to get their head shaved bald?
People who just want to spend money on
people who are
things.
Shooting a campaign ad and they want that image of him in a barbershop.
Yeah. In the first half of this ad, there is seriously, I think, 7 or 8 mentions specifically of race, and then he talks constantly about intentionally going back into the inner city. It's serious.
Like, he's a hero.
Well,
he's a hero.
I think we know the theme of the Cory Booker campaign is very clear.
System keeps us safe instead of shuffling more children into cages and coffins, where we see the faces of our leaders on television and feel pride, not shame.
Coffins.
It is not.
Well, he's probably responding to the Virginia governor.
What is? Yeah, that has to be right.
Yeah,
they just finished editing it yesterday.
Get
the coffin line in there.
Yeah, they're putting the coffins. They're putting the babies in coffins in Virginia and New York.
What? This their clouded view of what the world in America is right now. Oh my gosh. Get out of your bubble already.
Well, I think Cory Booker's probably smart enough and at least has access to enough information to know that these narratives are complete and utter BS, but it doesn't matter because that's what he wants people to think America is.
Yeah.
For him to be successful, he needs people to think that's what America is.
A matter of can we? It's a matter of do we have the collective will, the American will? I believe we do. Together, we will channel our common pain back into our common purpose.
Pain?
Together, America, we will rise.
Common pain.
I'm Cory.
Common pain. That's it. That's the theme. Everybody's got pain. We need to channel it into electing me president.
If they want to be honest, every single individual running on the Democratic ticket in 2020, all they need to do is come out and explain in their own words why they believe they have the better shot of beating Trump. That's all they need to do. Because that's all that this is. This is, and I know that's sort of a given, but that's not, all the other stuff doesn't matter. What they're running on doesn't matter. Their platforms don't matter. None of that matters. All that matters is beating Trump. So all they need to stop wasting everybody's time with all of this stuff and all, trying to and just be like, I feel like I'm better than Kamala Harris of beating Trump because of this reason. Yeah, I'm more well-known. Just be honest.
I've got the best chance of beating Trump. That's all the left wants. That's all the Democrat base is looking for. Who has the best chance, the most legitimate chance of beating Trump? Just be honest and tell us why you think you have the best chance of beating Donald Trump. Let's not forget, you know, his record in Newark. It's still called an emblem of poverty.
How long has he been there?
I don't even know. He's been in the Senate for
less than one term.
Has it been less than one term? Yeah. This is all just such nonsense. They're all going to be running on a very similar platform, and it's really for the... And I know this is somewhat par for the course for every single election campaign where you have an incumbent president. I understand that. But it is all magnified and highlighted right now because it is Trump. And so you listen to 2 minutes and 19 seconds of Cory Booker. This is Cory Booker's version of how he believes he's going to. So far we've got this, identity politics, race, laced opening for Cory Booker. You have Kamala Harris and her get rid of private health insurance,
all together
angle.
Well, and how often do we hear the left cry and cry and cry about Trump painting this dark, dark image of America?
Right.
Cory Booker's painting of America is like the most terrifying thing that I've heard in a while.
We all have this common
common pain that we must rise from.
There's this There's an editorial in New York Magazine's really lengthy. Democrats must reach out to moderates in 2020 - by waging a vicious class war. This is what's fascinating about it, though. This goes back to the job numbers, right? The article opens up with this paragraph. The Democratic Party's leading lights, from Elizabeth Warren to the party's left, on the party's left flank, to Joe Biden on its right, are all telling versions of the same story. The American people are working hard, but the economy is hardly working. Wage growth is too low, while the cost of health care is too high. Inequality is getting out of control, and the American dream is out of reach. What are they looking at where they're seeing all of this? To sit back and talk about their economy is hardly working? Give me a break already. Those job numbers, the thing that was most astounding with those job numbers to me was the forecast of what they expected and what we actually ended up getting.
Yeah, and like I said before, it was 304,000 jobs that were created in January, and we were estimated to have 170,000 from most mainstream economic experts. And then the unemployment stood pat, and the only reason it stood pat was because of unemployed federal workers, which makes my heart sing.
Oh my God. Yeah, best month, Trump just tweeted, best January for the Dow in over 30 years. The economy has not been performing at this level, I mean, what, since the 80s?
I think you could make the case with where we're at right now and how much welfare has evolved and then how GDP has changed that we're doing better right now than we were then.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
The left is obviously, the Democrats are obviously running so far left because they've portrayed Trump as this far-right extremist racist, and so they feel like they need to counter that, and this is what the American public wants. But the other aspect of this is, I think a lot of them believe that the majority of their base feels the same way. Who's going to be the best one to beat them? And I think they're missing out on the fact of, look, you still need to put forward good ideas and policy. Right, this idea that you're going to run as this far, far left progressive and you're going to get everybody on board because that's also going to be coupled with I'm the best one to get Trump out of office, I just don't see that as a winning strategy.
You know, Barack Obama was as progressive, I think, as many, many of these candidates. But the one thing that Barack Obama did really well was present in a broad level, general way that made people believe that he had their best interest in mind. When you have Kamala Harris and Cory Booker with this contrived, ridiculous ad, and then Harris saying, I don't want private health insurance, that is really extreme for everybody.
Well, and the good news is, the silver lining in all this insanity is that I don't think either of them stand a really, really good chance of getting the nomination. They may move the, they may be able to move the conversation, you know, in a certain direction through the primary process. But I would be, at this point right now, I would be incredibly surprised if either of them were the eventual nominee.
So that, of course, raises the question to local, and we don't have a time to get deep into the articles. We have the news quiz coming up, but you have two different articles that have come out. One out of the Star Tribune on Amy Klobuchar shaping DC agenda, considering national campaign. You also have a National Review article. Could Amy Klobuchar break Minnesota's presidential losing streak? I didn't know it was a competition.
No.
The question I have is, what's the expectation about Klobuchar still getting in? And, you know, what kind of candidate would she end up being if she did? How viable would she end up being? So I just kind of go around there. You think she's going to get in? And if she did, how viable do you think she'd end up being?
I still say no. I still say it's simply her PR people putting this out there because it makes her feel like a big deal in Minnesota. It makes her supporters in Minnesota feel like she's a much bigger deal than she actually is. But, you know, I will say this. The chatter around it has been pretty significant, but I don't see her as a very viable candidate.
I've always generally really agreed with that stance on it. But then at the same time, I think that with all this chatter, I think that she's gotten a really big head. I think that she's a little overconfident, to say the least. And I think that it might be a little bit more possible than maybe in previous times that there's been this chatter. And I think that she, in her head, might think that she actually stands an actual chance. So she might actually be considering it.
Max, what do you think?
I put money on the idea that she's running.
How viable do you think she'd end up being?
I don't think very viable because she's, one, she's done nothing. Make no mistake, Amy Klobuchar has done nothing as a legislator. She's our golden child in Minnesota, but as a legislator, she's not done anything. She's just been quiet. The Kavanaugh hearings were a staple for me because you could tell that she was intentionally putting herself out there in a very aggressive manner to try to build a little bit more of a national profile. I don't think she's viable, but I do think guys like Joe Biden will take a second look at this thing if she gets in early enough, because I think they appeal to the same audience.
Well, and
I think Biden's in for sure.
Yeah, and I think that if she runs, I think she runs knowing that she's not going to get the nomination. She runs knowing that her constituents are going to be fine with her running and they'll be all happy to go and support her. And she just continues to use it to bolster her own name recognition. Yeah. Like she probably would try to paint herself. And I think that's what makes Schultz so effective so far, is that she'll probably try to paint herself maybe more like a Schultz, maybe a little bit more moderate. I could be wrong on that. But she doesn't have the background that is appealing like Schultz does, and that's why Schultz is so terrifying to the left, because he kind of is the anti-Trump for a lot of people looking at him.
And the thing about somebody like Schultz is if you're a potential voter and you find something appealing about this guy Schultz, because of his lack of record, you can mold him into anything you want him to be in your mind.
Yeah,
you can just assume that he has the same positions as you do on whatever issue because he's got no track record to point to. It is that time. The Friday News Quiz is coming up next. You have a few more minutes to get your tweets in, picking who you think is going to win. Will it be Sam? Will it be Max? Will it be Brianne? We will find out next. All right, final segment of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, and the News Quiz is on three rounds. Your audio round, your parody round, your headline round. Your contestants are Brianne, Sam, and Max. You buzz in using your name, and we've discussed during the break that Brianne, you will buzz in with just the word B, because your name's kind of long, and it's the only one with two syllables.
My name's
and
Samantha.
You
could go by Bree, because then we all have three letters.
There I'm fine with that.
Okay.
That's absolutely fine.
Okay.
Kind of mad I didn't think of it, actually.
Buzz in with your name. This is the audio round. I'm going to play an audio clip. John's going to play an audio clip. You have to tell us not only who's talking, but any relevant context that that might be available. Points will be awarded for guessing correctly, plus, you know, a few arbitrary points thrown in at John and Mai's sole discretion. All judges' decisions are final.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
There will be no arguing or disputing.
Yeah.
I argue a lot, decisions. Though.
Yeah, I've seen that not play out before.
Yeah.
Audio clip number one.
Who of us has not had that situation where you got to wait for approval and the doctor says, well.
That's Kamala Harris. She is discussing healthcare and discussing not being able to choose your doctor.
There you go. 2 points.
I believe that's Kamala.
Kamala.
Kamala. Just like Pamela.
All right. 1.5 points.
Audio clip number two.
The whole purpose of this over-the-top raid on my...
That is Roger Stone, and he is responding to the raid on his house and CNN's intentional orchestration and filming it.
Very good.
Nice. I'll take three points.
2 points, Max. Okay. Audio clip.
Use big words.
Audio clip number three.
That should count. I think everybody at the Capitol knows I'm the Max. Biggest...
That's Kurt Dowd talking about gun rights in Minnesota.
Well, you got the Kurt Dowd right. You got the subject wrong.
Was he talking about black labs?
Yes. He was talking about the effort to make the lab the official state.
Technically, labs, not just the black ones.
Audio clip number four.
Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. Max. That's one of the things that...
That's Tom Brokaw with a weird racist old man rant.
Well, I'm sorry, what did he say?
He said Mexicans don't assimilate.
No, he said, I'll play it.
I want 3 points.
Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time.
He said Hispanics. Harder at assimilation. You got in a lot of hot water and had to apologize.
Mexicans, listen, it's semantics.
Audio clip number five.
I don't have the proof, but I believe that Manafort was
Bree,
set.
Bree.
I heard Bree.
Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's enough. All I got. She's just being crazy.
Yeah,
just
right.
Being Maxine.
Maxine's being Maxine. Absolutely insane. I won't play the whole thing, but the audio clip went on to say that the Russians installed Manafort into the Trump campaign to ensure that Trump got elected and then would do the bidding of the Russians. So Manafort was the key? Manafort's the mad genius that got Trump elected?
You're giving me a headache.
We need to promote that woman and have her speak as much as possible.
Audio clip number six.
Hey, the voters voted for this, and we should respect that, and we should
Sam.
Take away.
That is Pat Garofalo. He is discussing...
I can't remember what
it was on this show.
I know.
Audio was from this show.
Max, he's talking about per diem.
Thank you.
There you go.
That was the word I was looking for.
1 point, Sam. 1 point, Max. Final audio clip of the opening round.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders did send out that tweet last night saying, you know, in 21 days...
Is that Jim Acosta? God!
Can I hear it again?
So defeated.
This is going to advance. Sarah Huckabee Sanders did send out that tweet last night saying, you know, in 21 days, this is going to advance. Democrats can either get something or get nothing.
I don't know. Some talking head. It's some talking head.
That's me!
It is not.
That was me on Fox News this past Saturday. No, I changed nothing.
That didn't sound like you.
Play that again.
Doesn't even sound like you.
News on Saturday.
Play it again. Sound like you.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders did send out that tweet last night.
Okay, now that I know it's you, I can kind of hear it, but that doesn't sound like you at
all. That doesn't like the other CNN guy.
You know what?
Did you put that phone to the speaker on the stereo on the TV?
That didn't sound like you.
That didn't sound like you at all.
No.
That
didn't. Well, your voice has been in my ears for 4 years, yeah, and that
that's
didn't
why
sound
you
like
get
you.
Negative 10 points.
It sounded like a good point.
After
Come on. Just one.
After round one, Max 5 points, Sam 4 points, Brianna 1 point. We have the parody round where I will play a parody song, a snippet of a parody song, and you have to tell us what it's referencing.
Here's parody song number one.
If you like beer.
Sam. It was so cold that they couldn't deliver beer to Wisconsin.
Very good.
Nice.
Parody song number two. Right?
They know that you run Starbucks, but the
Max,
time they
Sam. Max.
That's about the Howard Schultz presidency.
I want to hear it now.
And, we'll play and in particular, the criticizing
it's one
of
point,
employees.
Max. 1 point. 1 point.
They know that you run Starbucks, but they're telling you to halt. Because if Trump wins another term, it'll totally be your fault. So don't do it.
That's a great one.
And the final one.
It's so cold,
Sam.
I lost my
We had super, super cold temperatures. Polar vortex.
Yeah.
So cold. Sad.
I'll run it.
I'm assuming, was that vortex sucks?
Vortex sucks.
Is that what it was?
It's so cold, I lost my fingers and toes, because this week sucks.
Okay, there we go.
This week sucks.
I knew it sucked.
30 below, and I can't leave my home, because this week sucks. This week sucks.
There you go. This week sucks.
This week sucks.
All right. Brutal. After two rounds, we are tied up with Max 6 points, Sam 6 points, Brianne just 1 point, but there are tons and tons of points to be had in the headline round.
All right. Headline number one. You guys ready?
No.
This is my worst round. So.
Here we go. Xcel Energy asks customers to keep thermos.
They want them to keep their thermostats set to 64 degrees. 63 degrees.
Max, 60.
Bree, 55.
Sam, 63.
What? yeah, she did. You shouldn't have chimed in with the secondary answer after the first answer, but you did appropriately wait to go all the way around. Yeah.
Thank
63
you.
Was the number. Headline number two, Representative Ilhan Omar lands a book deal worth blank.
Max, $250,000.
That's correct.
All right, number three. Governor Walz says Minnesota schools get a pass on.
They got a pass on on closing days on the amount of days that they can close school down. I'm trying to think.
Close enough. Yeah.
You know what I'm trying
to say. Instruction time thresholds for critical weather.
The general idea.
They're allotted 170 days, or they're supposed to. No, they're supposed to have 165 days.
Headline number four.
At least.
Yeah, we don't care. We're done now. We moved on. Headline number four. Minnesota wants to tie funding of neighborhood groups to their blank. Minneapolis wants to tie funding of neighborhood groups to their blank.
I'm sorry. I was having a visual of
racial makeup.
Very good.
That was a total guess.
Wow. Yeah, it's
just because diversity. I know Minneapolis.
You spent a full segment on the show on this week, Sam.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's good.
Yeah. Is it fine? Number five. Minnesota representative proposes a constitutional amendment to blank.
Sam?
Are you not sure of your name?
Legalize marijuana by 2022.
There you go. That is correct. That is exactly what we're looking for. Headline number six, U.S. laying the groundwork for a second blank in February.
Max, a second government shutdown. You said Minnesota. Okay.
U.S. laying the groundwork for a second blank in February. Trump-Kim summit.
Oh.
It's going to be the second Trump-Kim summit in February.
I didn't realize it was going to be so soon.
Would not have gotten that one.
All right. Headline number seven. Activists call for blank equality in K through 12 restrooms.
Bree. Gender. What? What other kind of equality is there in the bathroom?
Max.
Sam.
Max.
Urinal equality.
No, they want...
Sam's got it. She doesn't know how to word it.
I don't know how to word it. They want to give them like a safe place to poop. Right? Is that not the story?
Menstrual.
Oh, yeah. Again, oh, my God. We talked about the poop room.
On the show this week, Sam.
I got thrown off because we talked about special poop room.
You participated.
No, I know, but it totally got eclipsed by John's point about my point private,
private poop
room.
That's right.
Totally jumbled.
Headline number eight, Washington Baker apologizes. Washington Baker.
Sam, he made a Trump cookie.
There you go. Hmm.
Headline number nine, blank. Announces that he will not challenge Trump in 2020 Max. Republican primary.
Jeff Flake.
Very good.
You are correct.
Final FBI report finds no motivations for blank.
Max, the Donald Trump Jr. Trump Tower meeting.
Sam, Russian collusion.
No motivations for
blank.
The Vegas shooting.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the show this week, Sam.
I know.
I didn't even know that. That's huge news.
Yeah, they found no motivation.
Her top five.
Just wanted to go out.
I wasn't part of that.
Laid off journalists do not appreciate the suggestion that they blank.
Learn to code. That's
right.
Which, by the way, I tweeted this.
Favorite stories this week.
Why is that a derogatory thing? I pay people to code a lot of money.
Yeah.
Headline number 13. The Kentucky governor says America is weak because...
Sam. They're closing schools for cold days.
There you go. That's right.
Oh, he hasn't
all right. With only about a minute left, Sam with 11 points, Max with 10 points. Brianne, just 1 point in there. Just a couple more headlines to go.
All right. House Democrats want to turn blank into federal holiday.
Sam, Election Day.
That is correct. Governor Walz proposes an extra $30 million for blank.
Max. Election security.
Governor Walz proposes an extra $30 million for blank.
Free.
Go ahead.
Light rail.
No. Local government aid, LGA.
No. All right.
Final headline.
Last one. Reveal blank. Revealed as the unicorn on The Masked Singer.
I love this show.
I actually watched
Max.
This.
Max. Anthony Scaramucci. Oh, I just lost.
Anybody?
I lost.
Anybody?
With that guess.
Tori Spelling. That's
I would right. have never gotten
90210
that.
Fame.
Sam Sansevier, 2 weeks in a row, back-to-back wins with 12 points max. Excellent showing with 12 points. Brianne, yet we'll just chalk this up to another learning experience.
Oh, okay. We'll
with,
do that.
With 1 point.
Fun fact.
I'm glad I don't pay attention to all this nonsense. Who cares?
Just, you know, just be glad that you don't lose out on questions that you read the story for.
I'm looking kinda forward true. To the I'm looking forward to the Brianne versus Corey Adam round.
Do this. Oh, apathy at its finest.
And Sam wins by 30.
All right, Monday on the show we will have
people. Andrew Langer, President of the Institute for Liberty.
Also, we're going to be talking about workplace changes that might have to happen if recreational marijuana were to be legalized. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Stay warm and have
fun. Yeah, man. Enjoy the weekend. Don't give me sorrow. I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow.